Let's pray. Let's trust God to prepare our hearts. Jesus, we thank you that on this Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we can come into your presence like this. We can lift you up. God, we're trusting that you'd speak to us, God. So will you soften our hearts right now, God? God, if any of us is living without your power, your resurrection power, will you prepare our hearts now so that we can receive all that you have for us, God? Even as we have this desire to do your will, we submit to you. We resist the devil. We thank you that he has to flee. Pray your protection around us and our children. Pray in this hedge of protection you administer to us. Bring freedom, healing, and direction into our life. If any of us is without hope, will you knock on the door of our hearts now? Draw us unto yourself so we can receive you as our Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone believe it? Amen. Awesome. You guys can take your seats. Good morning to all. And we are super excited to host you on Resurrection Sunday. We've had an incredible weekend. I was at Maltbus on Sunday. Leanne was here. Leanne's at Maltbus. And Graham was at Camps Bay. And Matt's there today. But we've got to see people coming to the house, people getting connected. At this location, I announced last week that we are moving forward. We're actually going to be able to add by June, we'll have an extra 300 seats in this auditorium. We're extending it. And so the cool thing about what we're doing, and we got all the our okays from the fire department, everything signed off. We're actually building an amphitheater. So this is going to be the best place to worship. I'm sure if you want an environment that's dynamic, I'm super excited for what's ahead for this location. And if you are new, of course, we've prayed over the coffee. People who drink our coffee, they fall more in love with Jesus. They taste it and they go, oh, thank you, Jesus. Actually a spiritual step. Anyone drink coffee in the morning and it actually helps your spiritual walk. Anyway, so we're going to encourage you to grab a coffee or if you like hot chocolate. I want to encourage you guys, if you are taking notes or you can screenshot the screen, people who take notes have a better chance to get into heaven. Because the thing is, if you get to heaven and they ask you where your notes are, you don't have any notes, it's going to be a huge issue. And normally what they do is they put you in the overflow room and the people with the notes, anyway, joking. Same thing with people who got baptized in warm water and cold. Didn't you guys know? When I got baptized, they broke through ice. I went down, a polar bear swam past. It was crazy. All these bad jokes. But just so you guys know that we are dedicating children next week. So if you're a parent of a child and you haven't signed up, you can do that online. It's a special moment where we come around a family. They commit themselves to raising their child in God's way. So that's next week. And then baptism, it's a declaration of what we're celebrating today, that just like you died with Christ, you've also risen with him. And that's what we're celebrating today, that now that you're in Christ, just like Christ died, you actually also died if you receive him, because he actually died in your place. Jesus took your place. He paid a price that we had to pay, that we could never pay. And that happened on Friday, on Good Friday. And so if you think about it, Jesus rode a donkey that wasn't his. He paid a price. He went to the cross that wasn't his. He borrowed a tomb that wasn't his so that he could get what was his children. He paid a price for his children. And he does that great act of substitution and he does the great miracle. And if you would receive that miracle, not only has your sins forgiven, you also rise with him. You've got resurrection power. And the resurrection power isn't just something that you look forward to one day when you pass away, because Paul says, for those in Christ, when we die, it's like taking a nap. Can anyone ever fall asleep on the couch and you don't know where you are? Like, if, especially in winter, you fall asleep at 4, you wake up at 6, it's dark, you're going, what the heck's happened? Who am I? Anyway, and Paul says that actually death for Christians is like taking a nap. To be absent from the Lord, absent from your body, is to be present with the Lord. And so one day we'll wake up with God. And we don't just look forward to that. God's inviting us to experience resurrection power right now. And maybe your business is going through a problem. God will call your business out of what it's going through in Jesus' name, just like he called Lazarus out. Maybe your marriage is going through an issue and Jesus will call your marriage out of that dead place into life. Maybe your thoughts have been really in a place of sadness. Jesus will call you out of that place and he'll call you into a place of life. Acts 3 verse 13 says, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this." Acts 10 verse 39 says, "We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen." Acts 13 verse 29 says, "When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb, but God raised him from the dead." And we all need that "but God" moment. We all need that resurrection power in our now. We don't just need it in our past. You know, if God was just involved in my teenage years or in my decisions, and yes, one day I know I'll die and go to heaven. No, God's inviting you to experience his power right now and have a "but God" moment. We've been doing a series from the book of John, and we looked at miracles and encounters Jesus had. The theme of what we've been looking into is life to the full. John 10 verse 10, God's come to give you life and life to the full. And isn't it clearer today, when Jesus came to give us life, the tomb was empty. Because the tomb was empty, we could now have life and life to the full. And I encourage you to lean in today and to really see what's stopping you maybe from experiencing life to the full. I'm going to look at the seventh miracle. Really, Jesus saved the best for last. Just like we saw in the miracle of turning water into wine, that he saved the best for last. Because they said, who would have kept the best wine for last? Well, Jesus teaches us that he does keep the best for last. And he does the seventh miracle, which is the raising of Lazarus. In John 11 verse 1, it says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair." So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. You didn't think that was his response. Hey, when you hear someone sick, when you hear somebody's in trouble, you go, we need to get there. Jesus stayed 2 more days. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. So he waited 2 more days, and then he travels there, and we see the account, and he finally gets there 4 days late. Now, for the Jewish people, they believed on the 4th day, the spirit would leave the body. So Jesus on purpose left it for 4 days. They thought this was truly the end, because even the religious people, if Jesus raised him on the 3rd day or the 2nd day, would have said, yeah, but his spirit hasn't left his body. And so Jesus leaves it for 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." As a Jewish young girl, she would have been taught about Jesus' second coming, that in the last day, those who are in Christ will rise again. But Jesus wasn't speaking about that. She said, you know, if you had been here before, you could have healed him. You know, things would have been different. But I know in my future, there'll be a miracle. Jesus was saying, I don't need you to have faith for your past. And I don't need you to have faith right now for your future. I want you to have faith right now in your present, because that's what I'm inviting you into. I'm inviting you into a present moment miracle. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. And the one who believes in me will live, and even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And I'm going to ask you this question at the end. Do you believe this? Do you believe that he is the Son of God? Do you believe that God raised him from the dead? Verse 32 says, "When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. 'Where have you laid him?' he asked. 'Come and see, Lord,' they replied. Jesus wept. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, Did I not tell you that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Of course, we see that Jesus was 4 days late. Of course, what we learn, and you might have heard the story, and it's something we need to be reminded of, is that a delay is not the end. With God, a delay is not the end. Delay is not denial. Delay is not a refusal to satisfy a request or desire. See, if God meets your expectations, there's no room for him to exceed it. And Ephesians 3 verse 2 says, "God does exceedingly abundantly and above what you can hope, dream, or imagine according to his power working within you." And we need to understand that that's the God we serve, the God of the exceedingly and abundantly and above. And I've seen it over and over. I've had delays in my life and I always thought, why didn't you do this then? Or why didn't this happen? And then when God does come through, not 4 days late, sometimes 5 years later, I go, wow, if I'd got what I've wanted, I'd be so disappointed knowing what I know now. You've clearly saved the best for last. Your timing is perfect. In just the right time, God died for the sins of many. And just the right time, God raised Lazarus from the dead, because it needed to be 4 days later, because they believed the spirit had left the body. When your situation doesn't line up with your expectation, it's just an invitation to get some revelation, where you ask God, "I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why you haven't come through. Clearly, you're inviting me to a season where you reveal who you are." You must understand, they'd seen Jesus walk on water. They'd seen him turn water into wine. They'd seen him heal the lame man, and they'd seen him even heal the blind. But he wasn't about to do a miracle of healing. He was about to do a miracle of resurrection, and they've never seen it before. It was clearly a revelation that he is the resurrection and life. Yes, you might not have seen the breakthrough yet, but God wants to reveal himself to you in a new way. The Bible says we don't understand all the mysteries of God, but I promise you he's willing to reveal himself to you. Will you create some space if you are frustrated, you are in a waiting period, for him to show you a new part of what he wants to do in your life? Of course, Jesus waited 2 more days. You even see with Thomas's response, and I'll read it later, that Jesus clearly wasn't stressed and he didn't understand it fully. Jesus waited 2 more days and he gets there 4 days late. What I also want you to be aware of, Jesus will never let the enemy set his agenda. And if the enemy is attacking you, I encourage you to submit to God and resist the devil. Put the armor of God on. Go in his safety. But I need to remind you, the enemy does not set God's agenda. The enemy, Jesus is not intimidated by what God, the devil is doing to you. Jesus knows exactly what you need at exactly the right time. He made you in your mother's womb. He made you wonderfully and skillfully for every day ahead of you. He knows what you need at the right time. If the enemy is causing you to experience anxiety, if the enemy is causing you to experience stress, you submit to God, resist the devil, say, "God, thank you. Just the right time, you will do your miracle. I'm going to stay in you." Dr. Charles Crabtree titled a sermon, "God's Grammar." He said, "Never put a comma where God puts a period, and never put a period where God puts a comma." I encourage you to stay in faith. Our world wants us to put a full stop at the end of bad statements about people's marriages. He wants us to put a full stop at the end of statements about our children. He wants to put a full stop at the end of a statement about this nation. But God will put a comma. Our God is a resurrected King. He's a resurrected God. He can work all things to our good. Don't you dare speak death when our God is the God of life. You speak life, you speak his words, I promise you, you will see the miracle take place. Don't put a full stop where God puts a comma. In John 11, verse 14, it says, so then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there. That sounds quite funny that Jesus would say that, but he was about to show them a miracle. So he says, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. I reckon Thomas seen how unstressed Jesus was. And of course, we know Thomas is doubting. He actually became believing Thomas, but we'll never let go of the doubt. Hey? So Thomas then said to the rest of the disciples, let us go that we may die with him. Of course, he would have been confused. It almost seems noble, hey? You know, our country's going down. We will go down with this country. No, no, no. With Jesus, you'll rise. Again, don't get so noble that you start going down the road, death road, going down the broken road, going down, this will never work out for me. God works all things to the good. Yes, you might have to put some work in. You might have to start walking with God, but don't go down the road where you think it's noble to die when God's actually already done the miracle of raising you back to life. Get your head out of the news mindset. Get your head out of the world mindset. I'm not saying we live with our head in the clouds. We're aware of it. And whatever stresses us out, we bring to God in prayer and we thank him that he's in control. But keep your head in the word mindset. Keep your head in the resurrection mindset. I'm going to look at some things that could be keeping you out of experiencing God's resurrection power. John 11 verse 39 says, take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, but this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Of course, God says you need to remove something. And he actually invites you to remove something. Your job's not to raise Lazarus. Your job is to remove a stone. And he actually gets the sisters and the people involved. He says, remove the stone. Of course, why would Jesus do this? Jesus always invites his followers to be involved in his miracles. You know, who has the best seat in the house at the wedding feast of the first miracle? The person tasting the wine? The person in charge of the waiters who tasted the wine first said, hey, how did you save the best for last? Or the person taking water and pouring it out and it turns into wine? I think the servants had the best seat. Because they saw the miracle, so their faith would have risen no matter what came. And Jesus invites you to be part of the miracle so that your faith can grow as the miracle happens. And he's going to ask you to remove a stone. He's not asking you to raise the dead. He's asking you to move a stone. God's inviting you to remove something. I want to ask you, what's in the way of your relationship with God? You say to me, this thing's getting in the way. This thing's becoming a distraction. This offense has become a stone. This hurt has become a stone. What they said to me has become a stone. I'm going to move the stone this morning. See, of course, Jesus could have moved the stone. He's raising a dead man. He could have even taken off the grave clothes, but he invites us to move it. And I'm asking you, what do you need to move? Of course, Martha had a really good objection. She said, Lord, he stinketh. That would have been the King James Version. His body is decaying. And there's so many things that are hidden that we know if people found out, we would go, that would stink. People found out that I struggle with something I watch on my device, that would stink. If people found out how jealous I am, that would stink. If people found out that I want that person to fail because of my offense against him, that would stink. God's saying that thing that you think stinks, I'm asking you to move the stone. I'm not going to shame you. I'm going to do a miracle in you. I'm going to free you from your offense and your pain. Come on, we've all been in school and I don't want to distract you. But anyone grew up in school and somehow somebody just farts in class loudly? We're all a bit offended. But then you go, that doesn't smell that bad. What have you been eating for lunch? Anyway, but it's that time when somebody doesn't tell you and a smell comes and it's a silent but violent one that we are really offended. And you're like, come on, Brew. Somebody needs to own up. And your friends say, you smelt it first. It must have been you. We've all been there and had those awkward moments. And you know what? It is the silent things that really stinks the most. It's the things in our hearts where we can't let go of offense or jealousy. God wants to free you, satisfy you so much, fill you so much with his power that you're so content that you would celebrate with anyone else as they get victories, anyone else as they get breakthrough. God wants to do that in you. It's a life where you are content. It's a life where you have joy. It's a life where you're satisfied. He's inviting you. Is there a stone that you need to move? If there is a stone that you need to move, that you are aware of, I'd like to pray with you right now. Can everyone close their eyes? If you're conscious that there's a stone between you and Jesus, or a stone between you and another person, and you want God's help moving that stone, do you want to put your hand up quickly? I want to pray for you. Just put your hand up. That's the thing. We're all real. We all have these stones. It's normal. Life actually throws stones in our way. Jesus, I lift up all these people who've got their hands up. They're conscious of stones that might be between you and them or them and another person. It's hindering their experience of your resurrection power. In this moment, we give you permission right now to move our stones, to help us move the stones. Give us strength to move the stones. Give us wisdom. And we also become accountable to you right now that we don't want the stone to get in the way again. If it does, that you would touch our heart and remind us that the stone's getting in the way. Thank you, God, for your power right now to move stones, to experience your resurrection power. Amen. John 11, verse 43 says, when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. You must remember, Jesus says to the sister, I am resurrection and life. When Jesus walked close to the grave, there would have been tombs all around. All those graves would have been rattling. All those graves are shaking. Death would have known who's he going to call out, because whoever he calls out comes out. Whatever he says, we do, because he is resurrection life. You know when Paul and Silas were in prison worshiping and the presence of God came in? You know who got freed from the jail? Just Paul and Silas? No, every prisoner. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Jesus was coming into a graveyard full of life. He had to say, Lazarus, come out, because everything is under his command. If he said, come out, every grave would have come alive. Every person would have come out. So he says, Lazarus, come out. I want to let you know, Jesus, who is where two or more gathered, there he is in our midst. Jesus is in this place. Life to the full is in this place. Heaven has come close and resurrection power is near. Are you going to make the most of it? So he responds, and I want to encourage you, like Lazarus, you and I need to respond to his commands. We need to move. Have you ever had a dead leg and like you felt a bit weird? Have you ever stepped weirdly on your arm? Have you ever had to stretch before doing a movement, getting ready to move again? Of course, you know the joke of dads of young kids. Where do they escape to? Anyone know? The toilet. They watch their phones and they get away, have some me time. And their wife shouts, Lazarus, come out! Anyway. And they've been there for so long, they get off the loo and all of a sudden, come on, Lazarus was sick, dead for 4 days. I reckon his body had to get back that juices going. Any guys get off the loo with a dead leg? And I mean, these are bad toilet jokes, but what I'm trying to say is, maybe you've been sitting down way too much. You actually think it's your throne. Of course, the toilet's your throne. You think it's a place where you should get your time. But God's called you to serve. And he's given you a command to come out from a life focused on yourself and start to serve others. See, the miracle for Lazarus was not just for him. It was for that whole town, because many who saw it believed. And I want to encourage you to come out. Maybe you've been sitting around too much. Maybe you've got into a place where you've been not moving. And Jesus is telling you to come out. All I'm saying to you is respond to the command. What has God told you to do? You know, some of us are going, God, will you tell me what to do now? And God's going, could you just do what I told you to do yesterday? God, what do you want me to do this year? The same thing I told you 5 years ago. Anyway, and that's your resurrection breakthrough. It's just being obedient to that command. And maybe God reminds you of that thing. But just step in that and see God do the miracle. You don't have to do the math. They didn't have to roll the stone. But how's this going to work out? No, just roll the stone. Lazarus, come out. Well, how's this going to work out? No, Lazarus, just come out. God gives the command. He does the miracle. We're just obedient. The obedient people experience the breakthrough. I want to encourage you to make a move. Has he commanded you to do something? If Jesus commanded you to do something, you haven't done it, but you want to, I want to pray for you. Do you want to close your eyes quickly? If that's you, why don't you raise your hands again? Say, I know God spoke to me about something. Jesus, these people have heard you. Empower them and help them to do what you've commanded them to do. As they do it, please do the exceedingly abundantly above in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. John 11 verse 44, the dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Of course, they needed to release him. Lazarus came out wrapped in grave clothes. But Christ sets us free. And some of us still wear grave clothes. You know, he's laid your past and you still put it on. Yeah, but I grew up in the wrong family. I still struggle with addiction. You know how much I got caught up in sin. And you keep putting it on. But you need to take that off. That's not who you are in Jesus' name. You are a new creation in Christ. You don't need grave clothes. You just need to change one letter to grace clothes. I didn't deserve this. It's the righteousness of Christ. It's Christ's power on your life. It's because he paid for your sin. I want you to receive the grace clothes of God. He really has all that you need. Isaiah 61 verse 10 says, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me with a robe of righteousness. See, if we stay in our grave clothes, it actually stinketh. You know, we're living in freedom, but we dress like we're living in our past. You know, have you ever moved house and then your mail goes to your old address and they phone you or somebody tells you, sometimes you, hey, if any mail comes, you contact me. And they contact you, some mails come for you. Satan always wants you to return to where you used to be. So he always sends your mail to your past. He always sends it, then you go back to your past, the place you used to live at, the problems you used to have, the sin you used to struggle in. You go there to receive the mail. And then the mail says, you are a nobody. You'll never make it. You are in debt, but Jesus paid your debt. I want to remind you, if Satan's sending mail to your past and you get a phone call says you've received mail, say to them, can you please return to sender and write, he's not here anymore. He has risen. He's alive in Christ. The old is gone, but the new has come. Let go of your grave clothes. Oh, but somebody hurt me. I'm offended. I'm wounded. God says, put the armor of God on every morning. Shoes of readiness, belt buckle of truth. Yeah, but I can't put that armor over my wounds. I've been so hurt. I've been so offended. I encourage you to get pastoral care. I'm not downplaying it. Get some help. But you are no longer wounded. Jesus paid for your sin. He didn't call you out of a grave and then leave you in wounds. He actually healed you. He's not only the resurrector, he's also the healer. You aren't wounded. It's a lie from the enemy. You are healed in Jesus' name. You are a new creation. Put the armor of God on. Years ago, many years ago. So I reckon about 38 years ago, my dog died and we got put, my dad buried in the, we lived in Malkbos, Danefontein. He buried it across the road. And my friend and I went across the road. We, of course, were in, that's what, Sabi, standard one. You know, we were very young and now grade three. And we dug up the dog my dad buried and we saw it. Luckily, we didn't take him out. We just put it back over. I don't know what we were thinking. I went home, I saw the dog, Dad, anyway. And imagine I took him out, put a leash on him, walked around the community. Hey, here's puppy. Oh, God, you guys were like taking my dead dog for a walk. Shh. People say that guy's absolutely nuts. But then we do that with our past all the time. We put on grave clothes. Yeah, but didn't you see I grew up in the wrong family. I grew up in the wrong era. I live in the wrong country. I've got the wrong surname. I got hurt. No, you are not that anymore. You've been risen in Christ. The old has gone. The new has come. Let go of the grave clothes. And yes, go on a journey if you need to go on a journey. But you need to let go of the grave clothes. Maybe you have grave clothes that you need to let go of right now. Do you want to close your eyes? Maybe you keep putting on your past And you saying, Andre, I want to let go of those grave clothes. I'm the righteousness of Christ. I'm going to wear the robe of righteousness. I know I don't deserve it, but it's by the grace of God I put these clothes on. If that's you, you want to put your hand up? I want to pray for you. God, I lift up people who feel like they're putting on grave clothes. I thank you, God, that you, by your grace, have given them a robe of righteousness. They are the righteousness of Christ. They are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. They're no longer their past. They are a new creation in Christ. Just as you died, God, they've died. They've buried their past and they've risen with you. They're in a new day and their track record is your track record. They've taken it on. They are the righteousness of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The last thing is I want to encourage you to reveal what Jesus did in your life. The miracle that Jesus does for you is not only for you, it's for your friends and your family, your workplace. The miracle that wasn't just for Lazarus, it was for everyone around Lazarus. John 11 verse 45, later on in that chapter, therefore many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary had seen what Jesus did, they believed in him. John 12, in the next chapter, says, now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed the sign, went out to meet him. Jesus' ministry led to great testimony. We're not just observers, we're witnesses of what he's doing. And you've got resurrection power within you. And you can take that to your workplace this week. You can take it to the classroom you're in. You can take it everywhere you go. Now, years back, we lived in this house and the wall was low. I built a bench into it. So even if I stood on the bench, the wall was here now. The wall used to be here, now it's here. And I had neighbors who moved in. I never got to know them. They were just there a short while. But every morning around 5:30, they were making quite a bit of noise. And my daughters were young. So after a while, I thought, no, I need to chat to them. So they ended up, the lady pulls out and I stand on the bench and I'm right here. And she pulls out. She's honestly like, I could touch her window. Like, and so I said, hi. It's like 5:30 in the morning. It's all dark. She rolls the window down. I said, hi, I'm so sorry. I said, every morning about this time, there's a bit of noise. Either you're Italian or you're fighting. One of the two. You know what I mean? Like, only joking. Bad joke. I didn't say that. I just said, listen, it's a bit of noise. I was like, okay, young daughters, they wake up. So I thought I'd make you aware of it. She was like, okay, I'm sorry. She like, you know, okay. So have a good day. She rolls the window up. She goes. Now, I'll preach like this. Sometimes I'll just spot new people. You know what I mean? I spotted these new people. I didn't put two together. So after service, I see them. I go, hey, I said, you guys new? Yeah. We're talking, talk. What do you do? Where are you from? You know what I mean? Who are you sports football team? Liverpool? Are you people of God? All this stuff. You know what I mean? Like just Man United, in Jesus' name, come out. Anyway, like, you know, like the Red Devils. Like all those really good things that were happening. And tell me, where do you live? It's in this place. I said, I also live there. What number? I said, I live in 96. I'm like, we are neighbors. And he's like, oh, you're the guy. Yeah, great sense of humor. We laughed our heads off. And they came to View Group and we really hit it off. And then the one day he tells me, he says, can we chat? I said, yeah. He says, there's something visiting my daughter's room at night, this evil spirit. So I said, okay, well, let's win the house. We'll go pray. So I went there. I went to that house and I blessed that house. I prayed over it, submitted to God, resisted the devil, and I blessed it. You go, what did you bless the house with? I blessed it with the same spirit that conquered the grave. I blessed it with resurrection power. I blessed it in Jesus' name. Because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. You've got something to bless your community with. You've got something to bless your workplace with. You've got something to bless your marriage with. You've got something to bless your school with. You've got so much to offer this world. Don't keep it to yourself. Release the power of God in your community. I want to encourage you to quickly.